This is Coast Access Radio with readings from the fourth book in the Older and Bolder series from Dr. Angela Robertson, Creating Life on Our Own Terms.
Today I'd like to share with you the story of Jim Gibson, Kapiti resident and former seafarer. Jim, the youngest of three children, was raised in Rongotai in Wellington. He enjoyed his primary school years at Miramar South, and on reflection he realises how dedicated teaching staff were. At the time, the Depression was just coming to an end and the Second World War was about to commence. At school, cricket and rugby union were the most common sport activities, and he took part in both sports, although cricket was his first love. On leaving primary school in 1942, Jim continued his education at Rongotai College, which at the time was a boys-only college. He recalls he enjoyed most subjects, especially chemistry and mathematics. He also enjoyed music, and it was about this time that he began having piano lessons. Jim enjoyed this for a year or so, before losing interest in practicing, as this reduced the time he could spend outdoors joining in his friends' activities. In his formative years, a lot of his recreational time was spent with a small dinghy in Evans Bay and in the Marlborough Sounds with his family. "I just loved it on the water," he says. "I had a kayak and a dinghy, both of which were built by my clever dad." This interest and enjoyment of the sea probably had a big influence when he considered his future career options while he was in the fourth form. In his family, there was a strong family connection to the mercantile marine. Two of his uncles had been master mariners, and his father had been a second mate. He left school at the end of his fourth form year to start a seafaring life in the mercantile marine. In 1946, Jim was lucky to get his first ship as a deck boy on the four-masted bark Palmia. This ship had been seized as a war prize in 1942 by the New Zealand government from its Finnish owners. It became manned with New Zealand crews for trading with North America. This ship was totally reliant on the wind during its voyages of approximately 2 months each way, as it had no engines. With a mainmast 180 feet high, and with the experience of working in all weather and heights day and night, setting and furling sails, young Jim was instilled with great confidence and seamanship. "This stood me in good stead in future employment," said Jim. There is a plaque to this ship's memory at Frank Kitts Park in Wellington. Jim suggests that the book Palmia Under the New Zealand Ensign, written by Jack Churchhouse, makes good reading. Over the next 17 years, Jim sailed in a number of steam and motor ships in both foreign and coastal waters. He spent some time on ships under the UK ensign before sitting his mates and later his master mariner's certificates. Jim has many memories of his time at sea. Two in particular stand out. In 1951, the New Zealand Seamen's Unit supported the New Zealand Watersiders, who protested against financial hardships and poor working conditions. Their union was deregistered by the government. It was the largest and most widespread industrial dispute the nation had ever experienced. Jim recalls that, "This was one of the toughest times in my life. We were on strike for 5 months with no pay." He also has some more pleasant memories. One funny story he tells is that, while working as an able seaman with the Union Steamship Company of New Zealand on the vessel Waiana, we were docked on one occasion in the Yarra River at the bottom of Flinders Street in Melbourne. It was Friday night, and we were loading a circus to bring it to New Zealand. We'd made a ramp, and the elephants were being walked onto the ship, when all of a sudden, one of them took off up Flinders Street. It caused pandemonium among the late-night shoppers, absolute chaos, until it was caught by the people from the circus. It seems funny now when I look back, but it wasn't at the time. In 1963, after commands in the Anchor Shipping Company ships, Jim came ashore so he could spend more time with his family. He took on the position as Senior Port Safety Inspector with the New Zealand Marine Department. In this role, he inspected all the ships that came into Wellington Harbour and everything on the wharf. He remembers when the first container ship to New Zealand berthed in the harbour on the morning of Saturday, 19th of June, 1971. It was the Columbus, New Zealand. As the independent inspector, it was Jim's job to inspect the cargo, gear, and advise on safety and compliance with regulations in New Zealand ports. In 1992, he was promoted to Deputy Superintendent of Mercantile Marine, and he retired from the public service the following year. After all those years at sea, Jim's onshore career with the Marine Department had spanned 30 years. In retirement, Jim relocated to live in to care for his elderly mother. When his mum passed away 10 years later, he moved to the Kapiti Coast so he could be closer to his family in Wellington and much closer to the marina at Mana, where his yacht, the Jane Rhodes, was moored. At 70 years of age, he decided it was time for him to indulge in what he wanted to do, which was to go sailing. He thought this would be a great retirement hobby. He learned how to handle the Jane Rhodes and cruised in her all around the Sounds, often for 2 to 4 weeks at a time, weather permitting. Sometimes he had shipmates, other times he sailed solo. His favourite sailing destinations included Nelson, the French Pass, Abel Tasman, Torrent Bay, Marlborough Sounds and D'Urville Island. He says, "For 10 years I had so much fun on my yacht, but when it got too heavy to handle on my own, I gave it up." Throughout his life, Jim has always been interested in music, and over the years he's amassed a large collection of classical, popular, big band, jazz and dance CDs. A keen dancer, he was a regular at the Fernleaf at St Andrew's Hall in Wellington for sequence dancing. In later life, Jim joined the Kapiti Organ Society, and with renewed interest in learning to play, he purchased a Yamaha organ and took a few lessons. He's since upgraded to a Technics organ, which he plays from time to time purely for his own enjoyment. Despite having experienced some challenging health issues, Jim remained positive and has made a good recovery. In his 90s, he lives independently and intends to do so for as long as he can. Jim cherishes time with his daughter Jane, 4 stepchildren, 9 step-grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. Jim is a member of Grey Power, Age Concern, Kapiti Cottage, which is a men's coffee club, and attends the Kapiti Club when there is live music. He enjoys the activities these groups and clubs provide, as it's an opportunity to meet new people, catch up with old friends, learn something new, and have a good laugh. "Sadly," he says, "I've had great friendships with many seafarers and yachties, but have outlived most of them. Any day is a good day if one of us is here to see it. I don't do stress." He continues to lead a life filled with humour in the good times and resilience through the storms.
Listen again for readings from Angela Robertson's 4th book in the Older and Bolder series, Creating Life on Our Own Terms, on Coast Access Radio.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.